We have more clarity about the attack in New Orleans than we do about the attack in Las Vegas at the moment. In New Orleans, the perpetrator appears to be a classic lone wolf, self-radicalized person who is driven by his own challenges in his own life. Was drawn to a religious motivation, was drawn to probably the virtual caliphate, the digital caliphate that the Islamic State has put together, and according to the reports from law enforcement, has very clearly identified himself as allying with the Islamic State, and conducted an attack against people who the Islamic State would see as morally against their values on Bourbon Street, where, of course, Mardi Gras takes place in the United States. So that picture in New Orleans is coming into focus fairly well. The picture in Las Vegas, unfortunately, is getting more confusing as more information is coming out. The perpetrator seems to not have a clear motive as of yet. There's lots of guesses that can be made, but does not seem to have given any statements or left any clear evidence about his motives. And nobody that saw him recently has any had any indication that he would do such an attack. And the attack itself is strange given the person's background in the in military special in Army Special Forces.
We have two former soldiers who have been involved in these two separate attacks. How likely is it that they are linked in some way? And how surprised are you that people who have served in the US Army have been involved with these attacks?
Any linkage between the two is something that certainly law enforcement and intelligence agencies and military organizations are going to be looking at very, very closely. So far, they haven't found any connection between the two, other than the fact that they both were located at one particular very large U.S. military base. It's quite possible that they never came into contact. They had very different military backgrounds in their jobs that they were doing. So as of yet, there doesn't seem to be indication of a connection between the two. Also, again, the targets seem to be very different between the two. So it is possible that it was that the timing was coincidental, but with such a coincidence, with the timing, with their military backgrounds, with the explosions and the killings, any links need to be fully examined. Sorry, as far as being surprised as of military people doing it, unfortunately, these are not the first veterans of the U.S. military that have perpetrated such kinds of terrorist or mass attacks. There have been others. There, of course, are well over a million active duty members of the military. There are hundreds of thousands of reservists and National Guards. It's a large population, and so it's not a surprise when there are criminal activities, violent activities, even terrorist activities that come from such a large population, despite all of the efforts that are done to prevent such happenings. But there have been in the past U.S. military members who have committed terrorist acts on behalf of Al-Qaeda, the Islamic State, or other Salafi jihadist organizations. It's a horror and a shame when it happens, but this sadly would not be the first.
It's only about 10 days since what happened in Magdeburg, the terrorist attack there. Now we have vehicles used as a weapon by two terrorists in America in two separate attacks. How do you assess the use of vehicles in this type of attack? And I wonder how widespread you think this is, how worried we should be in the United Kingdom.
You should be worried. This is not a new technique at all. In fact, I think it was back in 2010 that Inspire, which was Al-Qaeda's online magazine, explicitly encouraged those who shared its terrorist aims to use vehicles in such attacks. Very hard to stop. Very hard to predict, especially if it's a lone wolf, especially if it's a someone who's self-radicalized online. Even in places like on Bourbon Street in New Orleans, which have long been the subject of anti-terrorism activities, we see that in this case, the bollards that were supposed to be there to prevent a vehicle from going up the street were under repair. And the truck went around a police vehicle that was parked. So the use of vehicles for terrorist purposes is not a new technique, and we certainly haven't seen the last of it.
Tell us a bit more about what you have mentioned a couple of times in this interview in regard to being self-radicalized on the internet, the digital caliphate. Tell us more about that, because we've been hearing and reading, there's a piece in the Times today about Telegram, about Rocket Chat, about these apps and different communication devices that are being used by people within this sort of ISIS jihadist self-radicalized grouping. Tell us more about that.
The more people involved in a terrorist plot, the more opportunities there are to learn about the plot before it is executed and to stop it. Therefore, the most difficult kind of terrorist threat to stop is someone who is a lone wolf, who is self-radicalized, who prior to the terrorist attack never came on the radar screen of law enforcement or intelligence agencies, who did not become a terrorist through communications directly with an individual, is not part of a terrorist cell, but is just on their own, online, looking at materials that are sadly very available, even still, that make the case for the caliphate, that make the case for a very extreme version of Islam, that make the case that that bin Laden, that Al-Qaeda, that the Islamic State and others have been making now for some time. It's very easy to find these materials if you're personally attracted to them. And if you keep your thoughts secret, if you which of course the terrorist organizations tell them to do, if you go through this intellectual path through the digital caliphate, learning all of this information, training on how to become a terrorist, and you keep it secret from your community, from your religious community, from your even your family, it's very hard for law enforcement to find it in advance.
Tell us a little bit about the international context now. And I wonder, with ISIS-K, with the what's happened in Syria and the fall of the Assad regime and Islamists now in charge there, what will the priorities be in terms of the new president in just over 2 weeks' time in regard to international terrorism? Or is homegrown terrorism, individually radicalized people, is that going to be more of a priority? Or do they just have to face both?
They have to face both. And we don't even know in this case whether there were any instructions or any guidance being offered online. We have heard from law enforcement that in the case of the New Orleans attack, Mr. Jabbar did not have accomplices on the ground, at least as far as they know right now. But that doesn't mean that he didn't get direction from abroad. That's something that's still under investigation right now. As far as the reason why we're seeing this more now, we actually have been seeing this for a number of years. Not a year goes by without some kind of Islamic State inspired attack somewhere in the Western world, much less all of the attacks that take place in Islamic and Arab societies. But the reason why it's perhaps becoming more prevalent today is because of the wider global social media driven echo chambers that you see that focus on the war in Gaza, the war in Lebanon, and now the war in Syria. And in the latter case, the victory by the rebel groups that were led by a terrorist organization that had aligned themselves with the Islamic State. They are moving, taking aims, at least in their communications, to move away from their background. But it is by it is make no mistake, their allegiance with the Islamic State is what drove HTS to building its capabilities that eventually had them take Damascus from Assad. One thing that Osama bin Laden said many years ago was that if you show a man a weak horse and you show a man a strong horse, he'll pick the strong horse every time. And right now in Syria, HTS and other Islamic State inspired organizations appear like the strong horse. This could inspire people around the world to take matters in their own hands to help spread the caliphate elsewhere.